in Jerusalem giving their sacrifices before God for the forgiveness of all of their sins. And it was then that Pilate's henchmen burst onto the scene and cut them down and mingled their blood with the blood of their sacrifices. Oh, believe you me, it was awful, it was evil, and it was a terrible day in the life of all Jews. And women who had come up to Jerusalem with their husbands were now departing as widows, and children, many had returned as orphans. Well, Paul tells us that there were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Perhaps they wanted to know why. We always want to know why things happen. Give us a reason. Let's get a cause and effect. Why does this have to occur? More than anything, I'm sure they wanted Jesus to denounce Pilate and all the Roman brutality. Or perhaps they just wanted Jesus to cry out, "How long, O Lord? How long? Hear the cries of your people and destroy the evil of the Romans." But I believe above all, they wanted sympathy from Jesus. They wanted to know that God was on their side. They wanted to know and be reaffirmed in the fact that they were right and Pilate and the Romans were wrong. But Jesus' response was not what they expected. Instead, he tells them, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." As I read that, it occurred to me, it's kind of like a miracle that they didn't like take hold of Jesus and stone him on the spot. Perhaps they thought to themselves, "Jesus, after all that we have suffered, after all that we have been to, you have the audacity to hurl insult upon us by your criticism, and you call us to repent? What about Pilate? Doesn't he need to repent? Isn't it he the one who needs repentance, not us?" You can almost hear Jesus say, "Oh, you want me to condemn Pilate, do you? But I'm not talking to Pilate. I'm talking to you. Do you see Pilate anywhere around here? These words are for you. Or do you think Pilate's a worse sinner than you are? Or do you think those slaughtered in the temple were worse than everybody else in Jerusalem? Or those on whom the tower of Siloam fell were the worst? Oh, I dare say no. Do you think you are innocent? Do you think that you are a victim? No, repent, lest you likewise perish." You know, as I read that, it occurs to me that Jesus' words aren't the warm, fuzzy Jesus that they were looking for. In fact, these words of Jesus were hard words. They were crushing words, and not the words those people then or us today, words that we want to hear. In fact, Jesus sounds downright callous and cold in the face of the sudden unfair and evil tragedy in the life of these people. When they long for words of comfort, Jesus calls them to repentance. But how does that apply to us today? Can you imagine speaking those words in our culture today? As we witness this pandemic going across the globe, inflicting death on many people and filling many people with fear, we begin to ask ourselves, is those Chinese worse than we are? How about the Italians? How about those in Europe? How about everybody else from us? When we long for words of comfort and words of reassurance from Jesus, what do we get? We get words of repentance. We hear Jesus say to us, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." How would Jesus respond to you and to me today? Would he ask us, "Are they whom these things happen worse sinners than you? Do you actually think that you're innocent, somehow holy, righteous, and perfect? Are you so self-righteous that you think God is punishing them for their sins? But you indeed will be spared. No, that's not what he's saying at all. He's saying, repent lest you likewise perish. To speak in this way is a dangerous thing. You heard the reading from the book of Ezekiel tonight. God had called Ezekiel to go to the people of Israel and call them to repentance with the warning, if you do not warn them and that man dies, I'm going to hold you accountable. Such talk makes it sound as if we deserve to have suffering and the tragedies that befall us in the world today. But whether or not that's true, and that's not the point that Jesus is making at all. Here's the point that Christ is making. The point he's making is that he wants you and I to understand that you and I live in a fallen and sinful world. We live in this fallen and sinful world amongst fallen and sinful people. And unfortunately, because of that, there's fallen and sinful things that happen that affect every single one of us. We are not immune. No matter how isolated we make ourselves, we too are guilty. See, this happens to good people and bad. This virus doesn't care what country you come from. It could care less. Whether you're a woman or a man, a Jew or a Christian or even a Muslim, it could care less. It afflicts everyone the same, exactly like sin does. So what happens? So what does really happen when you suddenly or slowly from old age or tragedy, your life is taken from you? What then? My dear friends, there's far worse things than the disaster awaiting those who fall short of the glory of God when their eyelids close in death. It's called eternal damnation. And so we are not to look to ourselves or to others for the answer or the reason who is the worst sinner or not. Because quite honestly, it's not relevant. But we sure like doing that, don't we? You and me. We like to be the judge and the jury and to think at times that we have it all figured out. And when we're involved, and we usually come out on top when we do all this judging, but such comparisons are not even reliable. And oftentimes, and maybe always, not even true. You see, Jesus is clear. This is not the answer. To think that we are better than other people because we're not suffering as of yet is only fooling and deceiving ourselves. Rather, in times like this, Jesus calls us to repent. And what does that mean? Repent means a military term to turn from your sin, but turn from your sin to what? He wants us to turn to Him, to trust in Him above all things. For only He can deliver us, not only from a fallen and sinful world, but from the fallenness and sinfulness that works inside each and every one of us. Oh, and Jesus goes on to give a beautiful picture of what that looks like. He gave that parable of the fruitless fig tree. When the vine dresser and the owner went out and saw that the tree was unproductive, the vine dresser or the owner says, tear it down. Why let it use up the soil? But the vine dresser says, no, but wait. Let me fertilize it and nurture it. And then next year we'll see what happens. And if it bears fruit, it's great. But the thing I want you to notice is that the fruit wouldn't have been produced by the plant itself. That help had to come from the outside. That help had to come from somewhere else. It had to come from the vine dresser, ultimately, who is the Savior. But there is one who has come to have mercy upon you and upon me. See, that's why we be let alone or forgiven, as it were, of our unfruitfulness, to be given extra care that we might bear fruit and live. And notice this, that in spite of the tree, It's not the tree that shows promise. It's not the tree that's used for good. Everything that comes from the tree comes from the outside. In the same way, it's true for you and for me. My dear friends in Christ, this is a picture of the care that Christ provides for us. You see, He digs around you and I as we are unfruitful, living in our sin. He digs around and cultivates it, and He fertilizes us with His Word and with His sacraments to bring us growth and life. You see, for Jesus is the one who was thrown outside with the trash. He was thrown and hung upon the cross in that garbage heap called Golgotha. His blood was poured out there for you and for me, but the fruit of His tree, the tree of the cross, now is given to us in the food and to drink, the food to eat and the blood to drink in the Holy Sacrament. To be no longer unfruitful trees, but to be trees that have been transformed by the love and the forgiveness of our Savior is truly an amazing thing. So, dear friends, as you and I face tragedy, and as we think about our own mortality, and when that fearsome things come into the world that make us, even as the body of Christ, become anxious and worried and afraid, or when the annoyances or just the challenges of our everyday life cause us to judge or to criticize those around us or to feel sorry for ourselves, the best thing for us to do is to turn to the one who loves us, the one who is our refuge in time of need, the one who promises that to be with us always, even to the very end of time. For to repent is to take refuge not in ourselves, but in Him. And to acknowledge not only our sin, but to turn away from our sin, from ourselves, to Him for all of our comfort and aid. To trust in our Heavenly Father to provide all that we need for this body and life. It's not to put our trust in other people or in the things of this world. Because in the end, they all crumble and fall down, but to put our trust in the one who never will. And so then disaster strike, and you and I are shaken, and we indeed feel vulnerable. However, it's a reminder to us that perhaps all along, we've been trusting the wrong thing, that we need to repent, that we need to put our trust, our confidence, and hope in God and in Him alone. We need to heed again those words of the Apostle Paul, "Let everyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." It's not really a question of if, it's just a question of when disaster and tragedy will befall us. So when we fall, whether we're knocked down by the sin of others, or by the sin or tragedy of our present creation, or fallen to the own sin that dwells within us, our Lord always turns us back to repentance and to remember that we are baptized, that we are part of the family of God. God Himself has personally ushered us into His body where He provides for us. He feeds us with the flesh and blood of Christ. He encourages through His Word and comforts us with His promise. And He does all of that because of His great love for us. For when things are going well, believe me, you, me, it's a gift of our gracious Heavenly Father's hand. And when things are not going well, our Lord is with us through it all. But the constant there is not us or the things that happen to us, but the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. To know that whether we live or we die, whether Pilate spills our blood with the sacrifices or not, whether we are afflicted by a natural disaster, whether we contract the coronavirus, whether there's sorrow or joy or challenge, it is our bread of life in Jesus Christ that provides us hope. So, dear friends, you and I, we repent. We turn to the Lord and we look to Him and rely upon Him for all the good that He provides. You know, if you think about it, it's really the exact opposite of being filled with fear. It's the exact opposite of grumbling and complaining. For to repent is the ultimate praise. For when we repent, you and I confess the one who has promised to forgive us all of our sin, who sealed us with that promise by his own blood. In order that you and I can say how great God is until we're blue in the face, but to both speak and to live that repentance and forgiveness is truly to praise his name forever. For that is how God wants to be known, as the God of the cross, the God of forgiveness, the God who got down on his hands and knees with you in the midst of the muck and the mire of your life, that you may stand with him in glory forever. Dear friends, that is truly a God worth trusting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the gift of thine peace and of pardon, with all of our heart and with all of our mind, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, for those that serve us in the medical fields in times of trial, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all those in need, for the hungry and the homeless, for the widowed and the orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and the dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For my brother, Pastor John Cotton, who's removed from life support this evening and death is imminent, we give thanks to the Lord. We pray for his wife, Lauren, his daughter, Catherine, and her family as they prepare to mourn his death. Let us pray to the Lord. And finally, for these and for all of our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray. Spare your people, O Lord. Preserve us from this and every illness. Give healing and strength to those who are sick. Protect those who care for them. And grant us steady minds and calm hearts in the face of fear. You have borne our infirmities in this human flesh and have purchased us with your own blood. Keep us in this faith, embolden us in love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart. By the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept us this day. We pray that you would forgive us all our sins where we have done wrong. And graciously keep us this night. For into your hands we commend ourselves, our bodies and souls and all things. Let your holy angels be with us that the evil foe may have no power over us. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.